Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, we had Easter in August as we kind of closed up the label series that we've been in the Gospel of Luke. So we celebrated the resurrection. And really, in Luke's gospel, he looks at the resurrection from three different perspectives: the perspective of the women at the tomb, the perspective of the two men on the road to Emmaus, and then the perspective of the disciples in the upper room. And Luke focuses both on the reality that the resurrection happened and why the resurrection had to happen. So we kind of broke it down that way, talking about both of those things. And we just talked about how what you see in those two guys, you know, a lot of people talk about the women at the tomb and the disciples in the upper room, but not so much about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And we talked about the reality that they were sad and why that was, you know, just makes sense that, you know, they thought Jesus was the Messiah, and a world without Jesus as the Messiah is a world without hope. I mean, it just leaves us kind of in abject despair. And I know some people would say, well, the resurrection is just kind of a hoax. I mean, it's kind of a myth. It's kind of a, you know, shot in the dark. It never really happened. You know, I would say that the average Columbusite believes that, you know, you're going to die, you're going to go to the grave, your final work will be decomposition. You know, that's kind of how everything ends. Christians obviously believe differently. And I would just say that if that's your, you know, if you believe that we came from nothing and that we're headed to nothing, then you have to at least admit that if this is all there is, if it's Darwinian survival of the fittest, then we should live to get all we can out of life. The ironic thing to me is where sometimes atheists, non-believers will say, you know, Christianity is a huge leap of faith. Those are the same people that at times will say, yeah, but you should be noble and you should help other people and you should live for your fellow man. And I just think if you came from nothing and you're headed to nothing, then you should at least be intellectually honest enough to say that living for your fellow man doesn't really make all that much sense. I think you're making kind of a similar leap of faith there, that we should be nice just for nice's sake. I mean, it doesn't really make sense. I think that faith is required on both ends, no matter where you land in this argument. And I think what you see in the resurrection is that Luke does things that no one would do if they were trying to prove it to be true. He uses women's testimony. In their world, women couldn't even testify in court. Their view was marginalized in their culture. Certainly, we're not advocates for that, but that's how it was in their world. But that's who Luke chooses. If you were going to try and convince someone, you would never do it the way that Luke does it. These two guys on the road to Emmaus, you would never give one of them a name because people could go. I mean, we have manuscripts that go all the way back to, you know, within 30 to 50 years of the resurrection. You could go back to Emmaus, find the guy named Cleophas and ask him, did this really happen or not? You would never do that if you were trying to make up a story. So I think the evidence is there that the resurrection is true. Not just that evidence, certainly more than that. But I think the evidence is there. But why? Why is the resurrection true? And I think the answer is that, you know, all sin is addiction. So many of us, you know, are waiting for these spiritual lightning bolt to come down out of heaven so that we will become Christians. And you know, you see that in the story in the resurrection, I guess, with Mary Magdalene, who, you know, had a life of prostitution and she had lived in the oppression of spiritual darkness. And it was kind of a wild conversion. But then you've got these guys on the road to Emmaus who are very ordinary. And I would just say for every one Mary Magdalene, there are nine folks on the road to Emmaus. Most of us experience God in the normal, everyday, God coming to us, finding us, chasing us in conversion. And then there's no spiritual pyrotechnics, or there's no fireworks that come along with our conversion, at least for most of us. But that doesn't make it any less powerful or any less meaningful, because all sin is addiction. And if all sin is addiction, then we've got to find the only cure. And so the conclusions that we had were, if the resurrection is true, that we must leverage everything in this life for the next life. We've got to start letting go of stuff. We got to start letting go of relationships. We got to start letting go of things and possessions, and because the next life is exponentially longer and more important. If the resurrection is true, then what? Not only do we hold on to the next life, but it helps us deal much more easily with the losses in this life. You know, the one guy on the road to Emmaus, you know, he said, we thought Jesus was the Messiah, but obviously he's not. And the reality is he was looking for a political savior. Not unlike those of us in our world who think if an election would just fall our way, everything would be fine. I do kind of wonder sometimes, like, how many of us put our hope in a political leader to save us, or a political party for that matter, to save us. He was looking, the men on the road to Emmaus were looking for a circumstantial salvation, not a spiritual one. We've got to look, because if the resurrection is true, our third conclusion was that the most important decision you'll ever make is, what do you do with Jesus? Once you see the importance of the resurrection, all of history turns on this event. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. I'm going to pray for us. Pray that reality into our day. And you can then pray it as well. Jesus, we're grateful that we serve a living Savior. We understand why you are resurrected. Lord, we are addicted to sin. We're addicted to ourselves. We're addicted to better circumstances and comfort. God, will you help us to become addicted to you? That today you would be the most important thing. You would be the primary thing that reigns in our hearts. Now you take the opportunity to pray.